Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition. It is Wednesday, June 18th, 2014, as we push toward the first day of summer, which is hard to believe. Of course, living in Arizona, it's felt like summer for a long time, but I think the first day of summer is coming up officially on Saturday. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday, noon to 1, on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, along with the station's website, and that is kvoi.com. And of course, you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere, as we podcast them and archive them again at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040. If there are any comments or questions that you have for the Attorney General of Arizona, Tom Horn, Mr. Horn would be happy to entertain those questions. We'll also check the Facebook during the interview, too, to see if we get some questions that come in. We already had one on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. We're easy to find there. Let's welcome now Tom Horn, the Attorney General of Arizona. Mr. Horn, how are you?
Hi, Bill. It's always good to be on your program.
Thank you very much. The Arizona Republic, a week or so ago, as you know, declared your primary with Phoenix attorney Mike Brnovich all but over, with you trailing in the polls and losing confidence of Republican voters. I guess you would certainly take issue with that article.
Yeah, that was a fraudulent poll. It was done by a dark money guy who... this dark money organization has been attacking me, and they're connected to the general consultant for Brnovich, and it was an utterly fraudulent poll. So don't believe a word of it.
Yeah,
the Republic itself didn't say that. I think there was one columnist who did that.
Yeah, I was going to say that Sheriff Joe Arpaio endorsed you on Monday, and the sheriff said in his remarks to the media that, to be honest with you, this is a quote from the sheriff, everybody is going after Tom Horn. And then he rhetorically asks, why? Why are Republicans going after Mr. Horn? I don't buy this case that people are against him because he doesn't have a chance in the general election against a Democratic opponent.
Yeah, I was pleased to have Sheriff Arpaio's endorsement. And, I've been through tough elections before. I was against Felicia Rodellini in 2010 when the Democratic Attorney General's Association spent $1.5 billion on a very libelous independent expenditure against me. I still won the election. They can't do that again because they and the Republican Attorney Generals have an agreement not to go after each other's incumbents. So this year will be less tough than 2010 was for me. I believe I'll be elected because I've been Arizona's Attorney General fighting federal overreach, and Felicia Rodellini would be Obama's Attorney General, and I think the people would rather have an Attorney General who represents the people rather than an Attorney General who's the chief cheerleader for President Obama.
Sheriff Joe also announced he's backing you because of your accomplishments, and the sheriff is discounting that long-standing complaint that you violated campaign finance laws, and then more recently a complaint by a former staffer who alleges that you had her work on your campaign while she was on state time.
Yeah, well, it's not just that he discounted it, but it went before an independent judge, and the judge ruled in my favor and said there was no violation. So that was all a false charge, Bill. And unfortunately, the media is dominated by liberals. And when I won in 2010, I won the Attorney General's office back for the Republicans for the first time in 12 years. And for the first time in a number of years, the Republicans had all the statewide offices, and the liberal media, went crazy over that, and they decided to launch a lot of personal attacks on me. And in the Arizona Republic up here in Phoenix, I don't know if the same was true with the Star in Tucson, but I'd rather suspect so. There was headline after headline that was of the size that you would expect if Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, accusing me, or repeating these accusations that I violated campaign finance laws, until a judge ruled in my way in my favor, saying that I didn't. So it was all a false charge, and I think the voters will accept the view of the judge, even though the liberal media, you know, try to emphasize the accusations, and then when you're cleared by a judge, you would hardly know it from what the liberal media say.
Well, you certainly...
Incidentally, when I talk about the liberal media, I, of course, exclude you because you've always been very objective.
Well, I try to be very fair, and we had Mr. Brnovich on the show, and I asked him about his name recognition, and I said, like it or not, Tom Horn has a lot of name recognition. I mean, it's not like Mr. Horn isn't in the newspaper a lot.
Well, I actually have higher name recognition than anyone except for the governor in this state. I think it's up around 90%. With Mr. Brnovich, my primary opponent, you could ask 100 people on the street if they'd ever heard of him, and I think you'd get zero people who'd heard of him. So I don't think he's a serious candidate, either in the primary or if he had been the candidate of the Republican Party in the general, he's a minor leaguer. He wouldn't be able to take on Felicia Rodlini, whereas I've already beat her in 2010, and I will beat her again this year.
Okay, perhaps some of our listeners want to take issue with you, or maybe they agree with you. 790-2040, 790-2040 for Tom Horn, the Attorney General of Arizona. And one more thing about Mr. Brnovich. On his website, he says, let's restore integrity to the Office of Attorney General. He says he will not back down from the fight to restore integrity and character to the Attorney General's office. Implying, of course, that you have blemished that office.
Right.
Yes.
Well, integrity is the most important thing to me, Bill. And for 40 years now, I've been a lawyer. And there's a company called Martindale Hubbell that surveys lawyers about each other. And I'm rated as AV, which means A means I'm an A lawyer, and V means I'm very ethical. I've been ranked as very ethical by other lawyers for all the 40 years I've been a lawyer. But you know, when you get into politics, people can lie about you, and there's been a lot of lying about me. But the fact that the judge ruled in my favor, showing that it was a lie, and indeed the judge had a finding that the principal witness against us had perjured himself, I think is clears that up. And certainly, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing more important than integrity, and that's always going to be true with me.
All right, let's take this Facebook question. This came in from Jason on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. Please, Bill, ask Mr. Horn about how he and Secretary of State Ken Bennett have hijacked the 2014 election process with this dual-track voting system. It's still being decided in the courts, but some precincts will need 15 to 20 different ballots to combat a statistically insignificant amount of voter fraud. Your reaction, Mr. Attorney General?
Yes, that's a very interesting case. That's actually a case that I won at the United States Supreme Court that I personally argued. I argued two cases last year before the U.S. Supreme Court, and I'm 2-0 for those cases. And the case involves Proposition 200, which was passed by the Arizona voters. It provides that when you register to vote, you have to show evidence that you're a citizen of the United States, which seemed to most people like just common sense. But the Ninth Circuit told us we couldn't do that. It was unconstitutional, that if somebody signed a statement that he's a citizen, that should be good enough and he shouldn't have to give evidence. That made no sense to me, because if somebody's willing to vote fraudulently, he's willing to sign falsely. So I appealed it to the Supreme Court. I argued it myself. And the Supreme Court issued an opinion saying Arizona is correct in stating that it is of questionable constitutionality for the federal government to tell a state that they can't get the information that they need to be sure that their voters are qualified. And with that statement, the case was sent to district court, and based on those instructions from the U.S. Supreme Court, the district court ruled our way that we can require evidence of citizenship from voters. The dual voting... Now, assuming that doesn't get held up because there's an appeal in the Tenth Circuit and an automatic stay, but I'm sure based on what the U.S. Supreme Court said and what the district court ruled, and the Tenth Circuit will also rule our way, and we'll be able to make sure that people who vote in our elections in Arizona are U.S. citizens and not illegal aliens. And if that happens, then there's no need for dual ballots. The dual ballots were because had we not won that case, then then the federal government has influence only over federal elections. So we could still require evidence of citizenship in state and local elections, but we would have to let people get by just with a signature in federal elections. And so you'd have to have a separate ballot for people who had provided no evidence of citizenship so they could vote only in federal elections. One other thing I want to say about this, and that is, it's a, you know, I talked earlier about the liberal media and I exempted you from that. But there's a fraud that's been perpetrated and a gigantic cover-up perpetrated by the liberal media telling people that voter fraud is statistically insignificant. That is not true. We had a trial on the matter before we went to the United States Supreme Court. It was at the federal district court. The federal district court specifically found that voter fraud is a significant problem in Arizona. And one basis for that is that, you know, jury commissioners will send out forms for people to fill out. And if they say they're under oath, they're not a citizen, they don't have to serve on juries. Well, the jury commissioners forward those on to the county recorders to see if people who say they're not citizens register to vote. The year before our trial, there were 200 people that were caught as having registered who were not citizens. But those jury forms go out only to less than 10% of the people. They don't send them to everybody. So you have to multiply at least by 10, and you're talking about well over 2,000 fraudulent voting voters statewide. Just from that one source alone, and there are a lot of state elections that have been won or lost by less than 2,000 votes. So voter fraud is a significant problem in Arizona. The federal district judge made a specific finding to that effect, and don't believe the media when they claim that it's not statistically significant because that's a cover-up.
All right, we've got so much more to speak with Tom Horton about: the immigration transfers, the polygamous communities up in northern Arizona. There was action Mr. Horton took on this yesterday. But quickly, what about we mentioned Ken Bennett in that Facebook question? The Secretary of State would like to appear, Tom Horn, in voter education ads, and he's asking the director of the Arizona Citizens Clean Elections Commission if that would be okay for him as voter information ads. Of course, Mr. Bennett is also running for governor. Your take on that?
You know, I have no jurisdiction over that. He hasn't asked me, and there's no lawsuit pending. That's before clean elections. So I've got plenty of controversy on my plate. I don't need to,
okay,
you know, put my oar into something where nobody's asked me.
All right, we're going to continue. Tom Horn has graciously accepted our invitation to spend another 15 minutes or so with us during his lunch hour. 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll be right back on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce
an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Attorney General of Arizona, Tom Horn, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Horn will be meeting a GOP challenger, Mark Brnovich, in the primary that is coming up. Actually, early voting is only a month or so away in this primary. In case you're just tuning in, Mr. Horn called his opponent, Mr. Brnovich. I believe you referred Mr. Brnovich as a minor leaguer. And you said, did you say 1,000 or 100 people were asked they wouldn't know who he was?
I used 100. I didn't want to exaggerate.
Okay.
But if you ask 100 people on the street, I would say zero had ever heard his name.
All right. You are in the news.
You've just greatly increased that number just by mentioning his name on your program.
So now you're saying maybe one or two out of 100.
I don't know how many people remember.
Okay. You were on, I think, was it Channel 15 in Phoenix last night?
Yes.
Yeah, about this, you're claiming there's new evidence of a pattern of misconduct, and you've asked a federal judge to dissolve the police department that patrols the polygamous twin communities of Colorado City, Arizona, and Hilldale, Utah. Do you have the authority to dissolve the police department up there?
The federal judge does, and we've asked him to, but it's going to be up to him. It's not up to us, obviously, but we've asked him to. This goes back a long way, just basically from the day I took office over 3 years ago, when, in Colorado City, for those of your listeners who may not be familiar with it, they have harems. These older men have harems, and it's not consensual adults. So a lot of girls have been forced into these harems as young girls. There's child sex abuse going on. They kick the young boys out of town so that these older men won't have competition for the young girls. Over 1,000 young men have been kicked out of town, out of this little town, over the years. And when the girls try to escape, the local police, which are called marshals, who are under the thumb of the dominant church, would capture them and drag them back. So it was like slavery. It's hard to imagine anything so horrible would go on in Arizona in the 21st century. So, and my predecessor didn't do anything about it, which I thought was a scandal. So when I took office, that was one of the first things I did, was to convene I was determined I would do something about it. I convened a task force of federal, state, and local law enforcement. Their first recommendation to me was do something about the police. So I've had a bill at the Arizona legislature for 3 years to transfer the policing from these local police, these marshals, to the Mojave County Sheriff, who can enforce the law objectively. We haven't been able to make it through the Arizona legislature, so I found $400,000 a year that I've given to the Mojave County Sheriff so they could have at least one sheriff up there. And with the sheriff up there, for the first time, girls have been able to escape, and they've said without the sheriff, they wouldn't have been able to escape. So I'm the first attorney general really to do something effective about this terrible injustice that's going on in Colorado City. Most recently, we won a discrimination lawsuit with a $5 million judgment, which is a record in the history of Arizona, on a housing discrimination case against the city and the police force for discriminating against non-members of the dominant church in their housing and utilities. And the remedies go beyond the money judgment, and we're asking as a remedy to dissolve the police force and have the sheriff take over the policing. And part of our new evidence to support that is that one of the marshals that testified at the trial has now come around and said that he perjured himself when he said that they did not deliberately discriminate, that in fact they deliberately tried to protect members of the church who committed crimes and sought to harm non-members of the church who could be usually people who have been thrown out of the church for some reason or another, that almost everyone up there at some point was a member of the church, but a lot of people got excommunicated, and so they were mistreated by the police. So we've shown that the police systematically discriminate, and we can't have that in Arizona in the 21st century.
How did they get the younger guys out of town? Just tell them to get out of town, or
they would drive them to Salt Lake City and leave them on the street there, or in some cases they just left them on the highway and told them to hitchhike.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Quickly, we've only got 2 minutes with Tom Horn about the immigration issue at the border in Nogales. I see that the feds are going to let the media check out the situation in Nogales for these Central American undocumented individuals that are being housed in a warehouse. Have you been down there?
I'm scheduled to go down there tomorrow morning, Bill. They held us up for a while. Originally, we were scheduled to go down Monday, and then they kept putting us off, saying they had to check the backgrounds of the people who were coming with me, who are all distinguished law enforcement people, so that really shouldn't have been necessary, certainly not to take 5 days. But finally, I'm going there tomorrow morning. Regardless of how you feel about illegal immigration, and you know I've been a strong protector of our border, an opponent of illegal immigration, but regardless of how you feel about immigration, when you have kids in your custody, they have to be treated humanely. And part of my job is protecting kids. My biggest division in my department is child protection. And so we want to be sure that these kids are being treated humanely.
Well, can anything – you had threatened to sue the feds over these transfers. I think that was last Thursday. Are you going to –
That's a different issue. That's adults who were caught in Texas and flown to Arizona and then bused to the bus station in the middle of Phoenix, mm-hmm. and then left there without any resources and without being in custody. They were just given summonses to appear in 15 days, which probably they won't appear. They'll just blend into the community. So the federal, in effect, doing the work of the coyotes, you know, the human traffickers. The coyotes are the ones whose job it is to take people who have successfully crossed the border and bring them into the interior of the country and, you know, so that they can blend in and become illegal aliens resident in the country. Here, the federal government is doing that, transferring them from Texas to Phoenix, Arizona, where we don't know what diseases they might have, because we don't know if they have good immunizations in Central America. It could be a health problem, burden on our social service system, on our schools, and they have no business transferring. If they can afford to fly people, they should fly them back to Central America, not fly them to Phoenix, Arizona, and then leave them there to just blend into the community.
All right, Tom Horn, we're going to wrap it up with you, and we thank you for spending a half an hour out of your lunch hour with us on
Bill,
the Buckmaster Show.
The half hour goes so fast, next time we'll need 2 hours.
Yeah. Something like that. Mr. Horn, thank you. Have a good day and a good trip to Nogales tomorrow.
Thank you, Bill. It's always good talking to you.
All right. That's Tom Horn, the Arizona Attorney General, with us on the Buckmaster Show. And we're going to continue on. We're going to be talking with one of our favorite segments, talking about companion animals and the best way to care for them. That's as we continue with the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Iraqi foreign minister says his country has formally asked the U.S. to launch airstrikes against positions held by insurgents who have been on the move recently in Iraq. Meanwhile, at the White House right now, there's a meeting going on. President Obama talking with congressional leaders from both parties about what the U.S. should do, if anything, about the situation in Iraq. Ukraine's new president promises that government troops will soon stop firing on pro-Russian armed separatists, offering a chance to end the fighting that's killed hundreds of people in Ukraine. Stocks are edging higher in afternoon trading after the Fed made its latest reduction in its bond buying program, figuring that the job market doesn't need as much support. Right now, the Dow is up about 76 points, the NASDAQ ahead 18, and the S&P 12 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we focus on animal care issues here on the show. The segment is about specialty animal care presented by Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson, an award-winning facility. They're open 24/7, and they are certainly recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. They're located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. Joining us on this month's animal care segment is Dr. Nicole Keener, emergency veterinary medicine specialist at the Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson. Dr. Keener, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing real well. And I want to talk with you about some of the more common types of wounds that you see in the emergency room there at VSCOT.
Well, dogs seem to make up the majority of our wound patients. However, some people don't think about it, but cats can acquire wounds as well. The most common cats that acquire wounds are usually cats that are allowed to roam outside, and they're kind of indoor-outdoor cats. Those cats seem to come in contact with many more dangers than our indoor-only kitties do. The most common dog and cat wounds that we see are trauma, so hit by cars, unfortunately. And number one that I probably see at I work night shift is probably animal attack wounds. So the animal attacks can either be between dogs and cats themselves or dogs and dogs. But we also see coyote and javelina attacks. So with those attacks with the wild animals, the animal will usually bite through the skin and cause puncture-type wounds to our pets. So it can be quite scary and quite dangerous.
Dr. Keener, do all the wounds necessarily need to be addressed as soon as possible by a veterinarian?
Yeah, the simple answer to that is, of course, yes. Even if you find a really small wound on your pet, you should have it looked at by a veterinarian. If we think about it, all wounds, especially if they're bite wounds, are contaminated to some degree. Many of our patients, like I said, have been bitten by another animal, so obviously those wild animals have very dirty mouths. On the surface, the wounds may look very small, and you'll just see one or two puncture marks, but it's actually what is beneath the skin that's the true problem. In animal bites, the teeth penetrate below the epidermis and dermis, and those are the two outer layers of skin that our pets have. And they may even penetrate the muscle and the underlying soft tissue. So in the most cases that I see, the dermis and epidermis are actually pulled away from the soft tissue underneath, and this creates a pocket. And the pocket is the true danger that I tell clients about. This is what holds in all the bacteria, the infection, and you really can't treat that pocket at home. It has to be treated properly by a veterinary professional. And in addition, again, I'm mentioning a lot of wild animals because that's usually what I see. If your pet's been bitten by an animal and you don't know the rabies status of that animal, your pet should probably have his or her rabies vaccine booster. The actual booster won't help prevent rabies if your pet isn't up to date on the rabies booster, but it will keep them up to date as far as the books are concerned and your veterinarian is concerned.
So what about sedation, and are some of these wounds typically create a lot of bleeding? Is that an issue, of course, in a human, Dr. Keener, when you have a wound? Bleeding is always a big issue, and I don't know if that translates to the animal world as well.
Yeah, great question. So as far as the sedation, it's actually dependent on the pet. Some pets are very stoic, and they'll barely need any sedation, but some pets will actually need general anesthesia. So some smaller wounds can just be clipped up and cleaned with the pet awake. When every pet comes into veterinary specialty center and they've had some sort of trauma or we see that they're in pain, they receive sedation and pain medicine right when they walk through the door. And again, the doctor will assess whether that's going to be enough to clean up the wound or if your pet is going to need further sedation and anesthesia. And it's really what's safest for your pet and what's safest for the veterinarian and the staff that we have there as well. As far as bleeding, typically, to be honest, a lot of the wounds that I see aren't bleeding. But there are quite a few times when I do get some that have, you know, kind of homemade bandages on them. If the wound is bleeding and you're concerned, you should really bring it in right away. I have had cases where, you know, a vessel has been lacerated and it won't stop bleeding, and we have to go in there and we have to ligate the vessel on an emergency basis. But definitely with that pet would need anesthesia for that.
Dr. Nicole Keener is with us from Veterinary Specialty Center at Tucson. We're talking about some of the issues that she deals with in the emergency room at VSCOT. And so you mentioned the repair of the lacerations, or as you call it, the pocketing you mentioned. So what would the protocol be for taking care of the animal immediately?
Yeah, so like I said, when they walk through the door, they're generally given a pain medicine that has some sedation right away, which is typically our policy for most of our pets. But once we get to that point or we place them under general anesthesia, we start by clipping the fur around the wound and near the wound, and we really want to get that fur off to get it nice and clean. And then we sterilely scrub the wound with antibacterial scrub, and we flush it out with a lot of sterile saline. I mean, that can take almost 30 minutes to an hour to do the flushing, to be honest. And we try and get as much debris and dirt as possible out as we can. And then we use sterile techniques, so I scrub up and put on sterile gloves, and we explore the wounds and check for further pocketing. If we find pocketing, what we do is we surgically place a little rubber drain. It sounds terrible, but it just goes beneath the skin. And then it exits at the bottom of the pocket, so the most dependent aspect of the pocket. And this allows the fluid that would normally build up in the pocket to follow the drain and be exited from the body. And the drain typically stays in for about 3 or 4 days. Typically, the patients don't bother with it. We do have a few patients who will try and chew it off, but that's another situation. And then if there isn't a pocket, a lot of times we just trim off some of that skin or the dead tissue and then close it up.
And what about then, will there have to be some procedures done at home to keep the wound as clean as possible, Dr. Keener?
Yeah, and so people ask us about this a lot of times. Before you see a vet, really, honestly, just keep it clean and dry. Some people try and treat them at home, and then they come in 2 days later, and the wound is very infected. So, again, number one, if you're concerned or you find a wound, you should see a vet and have that assessed. After we put the drain in and we do the suture repair, we'll give you instructions for that. People often ask me if they can clean it with hydrogen peroxide. That is actually not recommended because it kills the bacteria, of course, but it also kills the healthy cells that we're trying to get to regenerate the wound and regenerate some skin. So, and it most likely the hydrogen peroxide isn't going to be enough to help your pet. And then the second thing that people always ask me about is triple antibiotic ointment. That's always not the best idea as well. Sometimes it keeps wounds that should be dry, it keeps them too moist. So we don't want that. And a lot of times, again, it's not enough. So what we do is your pet will go home with some oral antibiotics and more broad spectrum, and that'll really treat the infection from the inside out.
All right. Well, there's certainly lots to talk about. We'll talk more next month with Dr. Keener about emergency medicine and wounds. Dr. Keener, there's a really nice picture of you and holding a very handsome cat, the picture of you on your bio at Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson. Are you generally a cat person or dog person or both?
No, I'm actually far from a cat person.
Oh.
That is Domino. He's my 20-pound cat. I'm not going to lie, he could probably use a diet. He was a blood donor at a previous job that I had, and so he used to donate blood and save lots of kitties' lives, and I fell in love with him. So he's my one and only kitty, but otherwise, yeah, little dogs are my thing.
All right. Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us, Nicole.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to talking to you next month. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right. That was Dr. Nicole Keener, emergency veterinary specialist at Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. They're open 24/7, recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. They're located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road. They're easy to find on the web also, vscot.com. Certainly they are the place, Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson, specialty vets for your special pet.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscot.com. That's vscot.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
We're pushing toward 12:50 on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They are urging me, and I'm glad to do it, to check out Silver City. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson. You're going to get an entirely different experience over there. Mile high elevation, up to about 7,000 feet in the neat little community north of Silver City called Pinos Altos. It's really historic country, Silver City, with all the great art galleries. And they've also got the 2014, this is kind of their signature event coming up in Silver City, the first weekend of August. It's called the Clay Festival. It really has everything to do with pottery. I mean, if you're into pottery or you'd like to get into pottery, really, you need to check out Silver City the first week of August. The best place is to go to Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, for the great list of things to do and places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. And again, that's southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the newest of the KVOI talk show hosts, Mike Shaw. Mike is hosting and started hosting June 1st, a new local talk show here for Tucson at 4. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
And it's easy to remember what time you are on.
Yeah, I know.
At 4 o'clock.
Yep. Yeah. For Tucson at 4 in the name of the show. That was Doug Martin's idea to call it that.
Yep. And our owner, Doug Martin, here at KVOI. And how did the whole thing come together? You met with Doug, and Doug's, how did it go?
Yeah, so I met with Mark Harris. He's the executive director of Fort Tucson. He wanted to actually have me consider being the environment domain director. And we can get into what domains mean later if you want. But so I told him, well, probably not. What I really would rather do, this is on my heart, what I want to do is do a radio show where we talk about religion and politics together, you know, and look at current issues through a biblical perspective. And he looked at me and goes, Doug's been bugging me for 3 years to do a radio show. So we started on Saturdays on KGMS in December. And so we did that for about 6 months, and then Doug suggested that we move over to KVOI weekdays at 4, and that's how that happened.
And the audience here, a little bit different than the KGMS. This is not a specifically quote religious unquote audience.
Correct.
So kind of, do you walk a fine line, or how do you kind of structure that?
Well, we don't walk a fine line.
Okay.
But the way we structure that is, though, we do just try to stay topical and or at least interesting if we're highlighting, say, a ministry or something. So what we like our first show, we had the mayor on, and we asked him the normal questions that anyone would ask, probably some of the questions that you've asked him yourself. But we start the interview with all of our political guests. We ask them at the beginning, you know, how does your faith guide you and as you represent us? And then the last question is always, how can we pray for you? And so it's we always put that little bit of a twist on it. And also, when we're talking about controversial topics, say, we always want to turn it around and say, how can the Christian community and others serve in this area to solve this problem? So we're not just highlighting the problem, we're also highlighting the solution.
How would you characterize the Christian community? Strong? What kind of report card would you give on the Tucson Christian community compared to some of the other places you have been? You worked in New Mexico and you worked in Texas for a while, and you're from Oregon. So how do we compare?
Yeah, we compare pretty well with Oregon, I would say. And the statistics bear that out, as at least as far as how many people are regular church attenders, that sort of thing. The Pacific Northwest, a not very churched region, and Tucson statistically is not very churched either. And it was a little bit of a culture shock, I guess, when I moved here from West Texas, because, I mean, everyone in West Texas.
That's a heavy church.
Yeah.
Heavy church place.
Yeah, everyone goes to church in Lubbock, Texas.
But not so much here, and I'm curious about why that is, Mike. What's your take on that?
I mean,
it doesn't mean that people don't have faith. They just don't necessarily go to church.
I hear that a lot. Yeah. And as I've lived here, you know, I've been here 9 years now, I found out that we really do have a very strong Christian community here. Mm-hmm. It's just not the percentage that we'd like to see of people going to church. I think this is just a guess, but it's very beautiful here. It's beautiful here, like Oregon is beautiful, in a completely opposite way. But, you know, we've got beautiful hiking trails, beautiful desert scenery, awesome critters. I love the first time I saw a Gila monster, I was like, it was great. And so I think people tend to, those that call themselves spiritual, but aren't Christians, I think they more enjoy the nature. And I think that may be part of that explanation.
So For Tucson was a group that was formed to try to do what in our community?
Well, For Tucson is made up of 12 domains, and what a domain is, it's an area of influence where Christians can get involved in that area and serve in that area in the community, and by doing that, it makes it makes Tucson a better place to live for all of us, and that's really the basic premise of what For Tucson is doing, and those are the types of things we like to highlight on the show as well.
What are some of the domains, as you talk about? Yeah. You call them domains. And when I think domain, I hear kind of like GoDaddy.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Buckmastershow.com
right,
domain. That's
right.
What I think.
Yeah, yeah. I, that's why I always call it an area of influence, because that's really what it is. But some of our domains are, so we've got the business domain, the government domain, the church domain, the prayer domain, the education domain, the environment domain, health, sports, media and arts, justice, and I think I already said business. I may be leaving one out, but mm-hmm. I think that's 11 or 12 of them right there.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did mm-hmm. you, how did you get involved in broadcasting?
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a disc jockey and a weatherman. So,
all right.
And growing up in Oregon, I knew which station to watch first because the weather would come on that station first. And then, mm-hmm. then when that weather finished, I'd switch to the next station that had the weather on. I'd try to watch all three if I could, but I'd get about 2.5
years. Crazy about weather.
Crazy about weather. Yeah. So I was about 21 years old. A friend of mine was moving to Roswell to work in the oil fields, and he said, "You want to move with me?" And I go, "Do they have radio and TV stations?" I go, "Yep." Mm-hmm. So in 1984, I took what I could carry and my last check and bought a one-way ticket to Roswell. And 6 months later, I was working at a top 40 station, weekends and then overnights, and then 2 years later, music director. Then I jumped over to TV and worked my way up through production and then news, and eventually became the weatherman.
Well, you know, Roswell, people think of Roswell, they think of the UFO
yes.
Museum, of course. But
yes.
Actually, you know, as a disc jockey, maybe you know this, but the Roswell and Clovis and that area, I think it was Bill Haley and the Comets that started there.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah. And in Lubbock, Texas, they have
the Buddy Holly Museum.
Buddy Holly's from Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
The first house he grew up in Lubbock is kind of a historical monument, but uh-huh. a historical site there in Lubbock. So, yeah, that's very big. And the Dixie Chicks, mm-hmm. And Natalie Maines, she's from Lubbock. And there's a lot of Maines that do a lot of music in West Texas, a lot of great music in West Texas.
So, and people, when they hear Roswell, probably all over the world, they think of the incident in 1947.
Yeah, yeah. As I like to say, the alleged incident in 1947.
The alleged incident.
Funny, when I first
moved. Most of us don't know what to believe in that area.
Yeah, when I moved there in 84, the authors hadn't written the book yet, so it really wasn't widely known, and there were just some whispers of kind of rumors. Then the book hit, UFO Crash at Roswell, and got to interview the authors several times and some of the people that are in the book, and I kind of became the UFO beat reporter for a while. So, yeah, it was very interesting, and, of course, every time I mention it now, it's a source of joking around. So,
well, Roswell's a really nice community. I've been through there a couple of times, and I like New Mexico a lot. Of course, I love Arizona best, but New Mexico's got a lot to offer.
The land of enchantment.
There you go. Okay, this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. What do you have today, Mike?
Well, we're talking with Judy McDermott with the Tucson Conquistadors and the new golf tournament coming in March, the Tucson Classic. That's the first half hour. Second half hour, we'll have Ethan Orr on, and he wants to talk about signs and signatures. And, of course, the governor's in town. She has a signing ceremony down at Paragon, which is just down the street from us. And that's he got a bill passed that's helping them bring the space age to Arizona. So we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, Ethan Orr withstood that signature challenge.
Yep.
Last week, not a good week for Ethan,
no.
But it started off as this week is a much better week as the Democratic Party dropped their challenge to his signature. So you'll have to ask him, is he having a better week?
Yeah, yeah. He already told me he isn't. He withstood that challenge, but it did cost him $10,000 in legal fees.
Did it really?
Yeah, so he's not happy about that. But
okay.
What can you do?
All right, Mike, thank you very much. It was good meeting you and talking about you and your show and what you hope to accomplish.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Mike Shaw, who will be on in a few hours, 3 hours from now, 4 o'clock here on KVOI. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Coming up tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, and the word is, from 8 to 9, I will be the guest host on the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone, so that ought to be interesting. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.